This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's September 3rd, episode 990, brought to you by Back on Track Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Wednesday, Wednesday. I'm so happy it's Wednesday, Wednesday.
It was the 3rd of September, that day I'll always remember. Yes, I will.
I waited all year to put that clip in somewhere.
I was just about to say, that's pretty appropriate.
All year I waited for that one line. The rest of the song is depressing and awful, but I needed to get the 3rd of September in and stop it before my daddy died and he was a scum, which is what
I
the rest of the
song. I don't know that song.
Papa's a Rolling Stone? You ever heard that song?
Yeah, I'm under
the
51.
The Temptations did it originally, but it's been remade by about 55, even contemporary people.
Huh. Well, sounds like very depressing song.
It is. But it got the 3rd of September line in. I've been waiting a year for that. So there you go. I'm going to have to play it again later in the show just so I can get it in again.
Yeah, it's the 3rd of September, everybody. How did that happen? Do you know what it's supposed to be temperature-wise here today? September 3rd. Sit down. It's going to be a freaking 108 degrees. Are you kidding me?
We're supposed to hit 95 with about 100% humidity today. So we're with you.
Yeah,
we're with you. It's been actually the last couple of weeks here in Ocala have truly turned summertime. We had a pretty good summer up until the last couple of weeks, and now it's been very hot and humid. You just don't do anything outside during the day.
It's August in Florida. I mean, that's like the worst thing ever. But it's September now. It's not supposed to be. That's where Phoenix gets you. Is the summer is not just July and August. It's July, August, and September, and June. It's terrible.
Yeah, but if it's any consolation, they're already putting on jackets up in Massachusetts. So, you know, it's any consolation.
They're
makes you feel any better.
Falling down and fall is coming and oh lucky. Sorry, carry on.
Hey, how'd you do? Yeah, how'd it go yesterday with Emily in the jumping episode?
Oh my gosh, I had so much fun. She and I could just chit chat forever about horses. I mean, my gosh. And she has a baby black stallion, which I was immediately jealous. So it went really well. So if anybody wants to hear me on the jumping radio show, not talk about jumping, you can go on there and look up Horses in the Morning for yesterday's show. She talked about jumping. She would just ask me questions about how things compared to eventing. I can do this. That I can do.
She's a sweetheart, and her husband's very nice. Was he on? He usually does a tip.
Yes, he did a tip, and then he actually came on. He had recorded some interviews as well. So he did great, and I'm actually going to use his tip tonight in my final jump school prep for Edwards Horse Trial this weekend. So I actually learned something, and I can't wait to try it.
Now, where are you going? You're going someplace in California again?
Yes, I'm going to Copper Meadows, home of James and Taryn Atkinson. Check this out. They're having beginner novice, novice, training, prelim, intermediate, advanced, a one-star, a two-star, and a three-star all this weekend at Copper Meadows. I'm so excited. I know.
There'll be some big names there. If they're holding the three-star, you'll see some of the big boys coming out.
Yeah, you'll see some of the big names in the West Coast, and that's the difference. The big names.
Gina
Miles
should be there. You should see Gina.
She
say hi to her
you
for
know
us.
What? She's in the beginner novice division too. I think I'm in the other division though. So, oh my God! Seriously, I don't want to compete against a gold medal, an Olympian in beginner novice. Like that's the problem with out here is you compete against Olympians in every division. Ugh. Gina Miles, ridiculous.
Well, give her a hug for us after she whoops your ass, okay?
Maybe she won't. Yeah, right. She's going to take me down. Like, Gina Miles is a beginner novice. Oh, that's fair. She should have to start at prelim. Like, you win a medal in the Olympics, you don't get to go beginner novice anymore, or novice, or training. You start at prelim. I don't care how.
Somebody else
horses.
Start your horses. One of your students has to start your horses.
Exactly.
You're not allowed.
You take that four-year-old through prelim. You can do it. You won a medal. Seriously? It's ridiculous.
All right, Jennifer, what is coming up on today's show?
On today's Back on Track Wednesday edition, once our overly excited, clever co-hosts have worked out their kinks in the round pen of news stories, we'll get to work with Mary Kitzmiller, who is here to tell us about the American Horsewoman's Challenge coming up soon. And then we cool out with Sean Patrick with the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. I have a daily Winnie for one of our listeners. Robert Grantham and his wife, I owe them a congratulations because they posted a Hit 'em Happy yesterday. It looks like their family is about to increase, and I'm not talking horses, am I? I'm talking they're going to have a baby.
Yay! That requires this here. This is the closest I can get.
Happy birthday. Yeah!
That's awesome. Congratulations, Robert. Oh,
oh
so
you know
excited.
What I wanted to upload? I wanted to upload the crying baby sound effect, but
no.
I couldn't. I forgot.
Just
so,
give
sorry,
me 10
Robert.
Minutes, and I'll bring one in live.
You started a trend. There's a number of our other listeners that have had and are having babies now. You started something.
I don't think I started the trend of reproducing. I just got lucky enough to do it. But yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Well, you think that with them hearing him screaming in the back, they wouldn't have wanted to reproduce. But
well, that's
apparently
the thing,
that's...
Glenn, is my baby is an angel, and so everybody has thought this whole time that they could have my friend Monica called Lucas. She said he was a decoy baby because he's so cute and he's so good that it makes other people want to have kids because they're like, I'll get one like that. And then she's like, and nobody ever gets one like that. And I'm like, he's not a decoy baby at 3 a.m. Let me tell you right now.
No, all babies are babies at 3 a.m., aren't they?
Yep, they sure are.
All right, your turn.
My turn.
Okay, here we go. There we go.
Ooh, I'm close to playing that birthday sound effect again, but not for a human, for a horse. Leading Australian race mare, Black Caviar, is about to have a baby. Yay! Now, she's pregnant. We know that she was bred a while ago to a horse, a stallion that stands at Darley called Exceed and Excel. Now, the thing is that the baby's actually due on September 11th. But where is Black Caviar? Where in the world is Black Caviar? They don't know because she's in hiding. She is so famous that they have had to take her to a secret location to deliver her baby. Is that crazy or what?
What country is she in?
Australia.
Is she, do you think? Or have they moved her to New Zealand?
Oh, wait. She's in New South Wales, apparently, is where the location is. So she is...
That's what they're saying.
Yeah, that's true. That's what they're saying. But she's so famous that they can't even, because she's so, the paparazzi loves her so much, they can't even say where she's going to be. At least we knew where Zenyatta was going to have her baby. She's going to have her baby in Lexington, where, you know, at the farm, at Lane's End. They can't even tell where she is. Isn't that hysterical?
That is funny. And do any day, from what I read?
Do September 11th, but as you know, they kind of give it like a two-week window, like with humans. So it could go before or after, but she's days away, so we wish her the best of luck. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about horse racing right now because we didn't get to have the show on Monday, and a lot happened over the weekend. First of all, we'll save the best for last. Tom Durkin, who is a race caller, and he's called over 80,000 races, Glenn. 80,000 races for the last 43 years, and he's been the caller at Saratoga and for NBC, and everybody here has heard him, and he retired on Friday. And I just thought I think it's HRTV put together this nice little piece about him, and it was on the Blood Horse, so I thought we should play it. And the first voice you hear, besides Tom Durkin's, is the MIG, Richard the MIG Migliori, who's been on our show a ton. You'll hear Todd Pletcher, Bill Mott, Nick Vito. So here is the piece that they put together on honoring Tom Durkin. So you're going to love it, Goosies.
Here we go.
And they're off.
He had a way of painting a picture and using and coming up with the right words to describe and set a scene. I don't believe anybody ever did it better.
Rachel Alexander will duel with Datera.
Part of being a great race caller is not only just identifying who the horses are and, you know, what position they're in, but understanding how a race is developing and actually having enough horsemanship to identify horses that are picking up momentum or horses that are losing momentum.
The first quarter was 22 4/5 seconds. There'll be no free ride for Rachel Alexandra. They're making her work for every step today.
I think he's a very intelligent guy, and he's got his vocabulary covers a wide range, and he can put it all together in a short period of time. And as the race unfolds, I'm sure he puts phrases together that probably fit the situation, which, you know, you got to be a quick thinker to do that.
46-2 was the half mile. Calvin Burrell was able to slow that pace down just a little bit.
He's on a pinnacle all by himself. Tom Durkin is in a class elite, because you can listen to any announcer in any sport, whether it's baseball, football, whatever, and they can just be monotone, you know, oh, home run, oh, this. Or, you know, and now they're at the top of the stretch, and here they come.
It is still the filly in front. A dramatic stretch drive awaits in the Woodward Stakes.
I think that the thing about Tom Durkin is the people that know him, you get to know him. He's a true racetracker, through and through.
He's the voice of New York racing. He also had the personality and charisma to back it up. He made racing fun for everybody.
And Calvin Morrell imploring his filly for more. And Rachel Alexandra holds on to the lead. Bulls Bay is second. Macho again is making a tremendous run for the back of the back. Rachel Alexandra, Macho again. They're coming down to the finish. It's going to be desperately close. Here's the wire. Rachel won. She is indeed Rachel Alexandra, the great.
Oh, God. I told you you'd get goosies. G-S-O-J, Rachel Alexandra, the great. I mean, that guy had a way with words. 80,000 races he called. And we are going to miss him. But I believe Larry Colmiss, our other friend, is going to be taking over for him at Saratoga. So it will be, he will have a good replacement following him. Now, the other thing that I wanted to play for you guys before I let Glenn do a World Equestrian Games WEG update is it happened. He made his comeback. The Bernard Baruch Handicap took place at Saratoga this past weekend, and 3.5 months ago, my boyfriend, Wise Dan, had colic surgery, and I didn't even know if he was going to make it. Well, it turns out, I mean, he had colic surgery, and then he was fine, and then they started making his comeback. And he made his comeback, and let's all see how he did.
And they're off.
There he is.
Wise Dan gets off to an uneventful beginning. Down toward the inside, BioPro with early speed, 5-iron. Sprinting out there as they race for the first turn. So it's 5-iron on the outside, and BioPro toward the rail. Syed comes away running in third. Wise Dan gets a perfect spot. In behind the lead, he's fourth into the first turn. Optimizer is fifth down toward the inside. Paris Vegas runs in sixth. North Star Boy reserved in seventh. Boisterous is eighth. He's about 11 or 12 lengths from the lead. A break of four to late running Sky Blazer. Into the backstretch they go, and 5-iron is running an ambitious race here and opens up 4.5 lengths on the field. BioPro lets him go. Syed to the outside. Wise stand under a light hold there by Johnny V. Down the back stretch run. The quarter was up in 23 1/5 seconds with Five Iron blazing away down the back stretch run. Half up. Strong, 46 1/5 seconds. Wise Dan is now about 7 lengths from that lead as they move into the far turn. So they have caught the front runner, Five Iron. BioPro now just a length behind in second. On the outside, Syed is third. Wise Dan, 3.5 lengths from the lead with 3 furlongs to go. He's maneuvered off the inside as they make their way toward the top of the stretch. He's followed by Paris Vegas. Then Optimizer is in between horses, North Star Boy, and then Boisterous Skyblazer swings to the clear on the outside. Top of the stretch. Wise Dan has been uncovered on the outside. He's got a furlong to go. Syed's got a short lead. Five Iron down toward the inside. Here comes Optimizer with an upset chance on the outside. Wise Dan coming down to the line. And Wise Dan has come away with the lead. Optimizer surges. And here's the wire. Wise Dan, I think he did it. I think he did it. Optimizer was very close. Very close indeed.
Now, he did not paint as exciting a picture as I felt he should, because that race was ridiculous. He came out of there, and it was just like he wouldn't give up. He just wouldn't give up. And I posted the finish line photo, because it ended up being a photo finish. Holy cow. Wise Dan has the biggest heart ever. He finished by a nose. He just wouldn't let him get ahead of him. It just, no matter how much more Optimizer pushed, he just pushed a little bit harder. And the winner's circle photo, you know what they said? Excuse me. They said about Zenyatta is they said, that horse knows where the finish line is. Zenyatta always knew where the finish line was and only put in enough work to where she got to the finish line first. And Wise Dan is exactly the same. He just knows where that line is, and he waits for the photo, boom, as he goes by. So it was really, really a great race. And Wise Dan is back. Woohoo! Naysayers, he carried like 14 more pounds than any other horse in the race. It was crazy. So my boyfriend's back. My boyfriend's back, and you're going to be in trouble.
You know what, Layla, you know what caught my attention with this one is this. Let me play
and
this again.
They're off.
Let me play the beginning.
Wise Dan gets off to an uneventful beginning down toward the inside.
Okay, Wise Dan gets off to an uneventful, like he was expecting him just to fall out of the gate flat in the face. You know?
He broke. It's like
came out of the gate. Wise Dan came out of the gate. Yes, that's what he's supposed to do.
Yeah, I know exactly. It's like the paparazzi following people around. Well, they went to the bathroom. Like, woo!
Exactly. Exactly. Hey, you didn't have any naked pictures up on Apple, did you? On iCloud.
Well, hopefully we'll never know, because I'm not famous enough.
I was waiting to see if your name was in the 100, you know, or so celebrities that was on the list. I was checking.
Were you?
I was up there. I know. I don't have iCloud, so I'm safe.
Oh.
And nobody would want to see the pictures either, so, you know.
It'd be like Jennifer Lawrence, Kate Upton, some guy that lives in Florida with a cowboy hat on, and it, you know, it continues. That'd be awesome. That'd be awesome.
I mean, it is awful what happened. I don't mean to make light of it, but I was just checking to see. I did not see your name, so I was happy to see that.
Poor girls.
Okay, good. All right. Let's talk about the WEG.
2014, the year of the 7th World Equestrian Games, and the turn of Normandy to stage the biggest equestrian event in the world.
All right, World Equestrian Games, and I wanted to tell everybody, if you want to find out what happened with eventing over the weekend and what happened with the U.S. team and why we had issues, and also hear from the winner and all of that, Dayton Joe from the Eventing Radio Show, I helped him produce it yesterday, had a bunch of guests on. They had the winner on, who was Sandra Offarth, which I can't even say her name. She's gold medalist out of Germany. They had her on, and, of course, she was very happy. She sounded a little tired, and they said, "Oh, are you okay?" And she said, "Well, we partied all day yesterday. I have a really bad hangover."
She's German. They drink beer.
So, well, they asked her, you know, now what you going to do the rest of the year? And she said, "I think I'm going to continue partying." So that was, you know what, you're world champion. Why not? They spoke to fourth place Janelle Price from New Zealand about, you know, she was shocked to be in fourth place. They talked to silver medalist Zara Phillips, which is the first time I've gotten to talk to Zara Phillips, too. So that was fun. And then they talked to David O'Connor, who's the chef d'équipe of the United States team, about what happened. What happened? And if you've ever listened to the Nate and Joe show, you'll know that they pretty much ask what they want to ask when they want to ask it, and they don't hold back. So
really?
They put David a little bit to the test yesterday and want to know what's going on. So, yeah, you know, David was candid. I was impressed. He didn't just do the party line. He actually was candid about some of the issues. So you'll find all of that on the Eventing Radio Show. Did you get to watch any of the cross country that day?
I watched later portions, and my God, that was a tough course.
Yeah, it was tough, and the ground, and it's what came out in the Eventing Radio Show, was everybody said the ground was just a muddy mess, that they were sinking up to 10 to 12 centimeters into the ground.
Wow.
All the way around. And, you know, I don't think those of us that have never run a cross-country course can appreciate soft footing like that, but apparently it ain't fun. So
no, I would imagine not. I've never sunk that much. I would have scratched. But, again, world championships, you're in France. Like, give it a go. Why not?
It's well, crazy. They're used to that weather over there. So,
that's true.
They're used to we're not, you know. We're not used to sinking a foot in the ground. But competition's happening today. Jumping team and individual second round one. So team and individual round one, rather. Yesterday they had the speed competition. And let me tell you what, the Irish just kicked butt yesterday. And there's a new team. I don't know if you talked about this guy yesterday by the name of Bertram Allen, who just was brilliant. And he's a 19-year-old. He comes from County Wexford in Ireland. He trains in Munster, Germany, and he's coached by a very well-known German jumper. And he was the 40th to go out of 153, Jamie. He was the 40th out of 153, and nobody could get close to him after that. None of the big riders,
really?
The biggest show jumping, nobody could get close to him after that. He just kicked butt and really helped the Irish team, you know, a lot, obviously, and he did very well. There was a French rider that came in second, and apparently the screaming in the crowd was just unbelievable when the French rider went. So that was kind of cool. And then I'm trying to see here. Let's find out the. I'm bringing up the results for the teams. So France is in first place here after the first round in the team competition, so they're obviously very excited. Sweden's in second place, and the United States is in third place, thanks to BZ Madden and McLean Ward and Kent Farrington and Lucy Davis. The three of them helped out to have the United States sitting in third place. Now, we're early in. They have several more rounds to go. So we'll see what happens after the jumping rounds that go today. And our top-placed individual rider right now is, I think it's, let me see here, our top-placed individual rider is BZ Madden, currently sitting in fourth place.
Of course.
Yep. So that's where we're at from the jumping side of things, and I'm
what
sure we talked about that yesterday.
I mean, that team. Is... as like the super friends, you know, reuniting for one show jumping competition. Superman.
Guardians of the Galaxy show jumping.
Exactly.
Well, let me tell you, we need all the help we can get right now as far as the WEG is concerned, because the United States is sitting in fourth with four medals, and those four medals come from all from one sport, reining.
Reining.
All four from reining. We would have, if it weren't for reining, we would have no medals. So right now, Great Britain's leading the way with 13, six golds. Germany's coming in second with 11 with four golds. And Netherlands third with three golds. So United States after that. We're tied with a whole bunch after that. So.
Okay. So but vaulting is going on right now too. And how do we do in vaulting typically?
Vaulting we don't do very well. Well, we did well. 4 years ago, we won the team competition, actually. So, and I watched that live at World Equestrian Games. And I wanted to talk a little bit about the vaulting. Our vaulting team is comprised mostly of vaulters out of Woodside, vaulters out of California. And I posted a picture. I don't know if you saw it this morning. They're the cutest team out there. We win the Cute Award. Did you see the little ones? The youngest vaulter on this team is 9 years old.
That doesn't seem possible.
I know. Do you want to know what the average age of the United States vaulting team is? 13.
Oh, my God. Wow.
And they're at the World Equestrian Games, you know, about to win a world title maybe. They're in seventh place after round one. Today they do the freestyle. I got to tell you, when I watched vaulting at the WEG last time, the compulsories, which is what they did yesterday, it's like watching the compulsories in gymnastics. They also do like the same kind of thing. Is boring as all get out. But then when they went to the freestyle, the music was playing, and they all were doing different stuff, that was a lot more fun. So that's what they're doing today. They're doing the freestyles, and we should know, I think, at the end of today or tomorrow, what teams won what. And as I said, we are sitting in seventh place currently, and the team from Austria, who does very well in vaulting, is in first place at this point. So, and of course, the Germans. The Germans just can't. What is it with the Germans? They got their horse program down pat, let me tell you.
They're German.
They're good at everything.
they're German. That's the excuse.
Well, you know, I gotta say real quick. I'll say it on this show, but I wouldn't say it anywhere else. But we kind of have that kind of show. The have you seen the reports? Especially our friend Leslie Wiley, who'll be on the show Friday talking about it, has been the reports coming out and on the WEG Facebook page, the official WEG Facebook page, apparently there's a lot of people who are just upset with the lack of organization of the French for this game. There were people that had tickets for cross country and spent big bucks for tickets for cross country that were in traffic jams for 4 to 5 hours. When they got there, they got to see like five riders.
Man, you know what? I did see this on Leslie's Facebook page, and it not to focus it on me, but I love that people backing up were asking for their money back. They want refunds, and I don't blame them. I mean, they pay a ton of money for photos, but it reminded me of the Olympics in Atlanta. I was stuck in traffic trying to get to the show jumping phase for eventing. I was stuck in traffic. By the time I got to my seat and sat down, the last rider went on course.
Oh,
the
no.
The very freaking last rider. Are you kidding me? So, yeah. I mean, it's like these things are never prepared for correctly, and that's the problem with the horse phases is they can't be in the middle of the city with public transportation. They're all kind of far out there, and that was the problem with Atlanta is they had small roads leading to this event, and it just bottlenecked and you got stuck, but they should have been on top of it.
I guess we got lucky in Lexington because we had the highway right there, and it's, you know, it's a four lane road right off the highway. They could funnel traffic, but they had the funneling of traffic down to a science there in Kentucky. Apparently they had one gate, one entrance here, and the parking people were just awful and couldn't figure it out. And then there wasn't enough parking. They said the toilets were overflowing and there wasn't enough food. And it just was the reports. We're going to hear firsthand from Leslie on Friday about it.
Well, the other girl who went with Leslie, I'm looking for the article now, because Harry Mead lost his horse, okay, lost his horse after the cross-country phase. Here it is. Her name was Jenny Autry, and she writes for Eventing Nation. Well, apparently the security guards were all a-holes. And I've been to France, and I was around the Eiffel Tower, and it's true. Like, anybody that works around that area is an a-hole because they have to deal with people all the time, and they just don't care anymore. But Harry's horse, Wild Lone, tragically collapsed and died after cross-country. And being very brave, Harry decided to go watch each of his fellow British teammates in show jumping that day, cheering them on, supporting them, and his family was in the stands. His wife was up in the stands, and the security guard wouldn't let a competitor by. A competitor in his coat
with credentials
and his outfit and everything, saying he can't get into the stands because he didn't have a ticket to get into the stands. Well, Jenny Autry, actually American, ran up to the security guard. She said in a hungry, sleep-deprived rage, fueled by what was a horrible cluster my entire experience at WEG had been up to at that point, I shoved the security guard back from Harry and yelled, "That man just won a silver medal. For God's sake, let him through." So the security guard, she said, was so stunned by some small chick grabbing
She's about your size.
She's not tall. She's not very big. She said that he was so distracted that Harry Mead was able to slip by to go into the grandstands to find his wife. And then moments later, he walks in the stadium on foot to collect his medal. So it was just like a heartbreaking story, but she just, good for her. God, just
she's
shut up.
She's lucky
get
she's not
way.
In a French jail someplace.
I know. It was awesome. That's awesome.
Apparently, the security guards were that way all the way through, and of course, none of them, they all feigned they didn't speak English, which is that was another problem everybody was having. So I've been hearing talk of behind the scenes that there are some people, including some sponsors, who are not happy with how people are being treated over there. So we'll see what happens. There's even talk now of, because of the organization of these things is so immense and so hard to get right, about maybe, you know, there's rumors about talk about maybe having just two spots, having Lexington and Aachen, Germany, who are used to doing the big shows, having those two spots and have it rotate between the two. And, you know, you wonder about Olympics even because, again, the same problems, as you just mentioned, happen when you're only doing it once and you don't have a chance to practice. So, you know, same thing happens with the Olympics, too. I don't know what the solution is. I don't know. But
the
Germans ended up
is.
Winning eventing.
Yeah, you can leave it in Aachen. I'll go with that. But let's just make it at the Kentucky Horse Park. My God, those people practice every year for Rolex. And there's just no major traffic clusters going into Rolex. So it just needs to happen.
There you go. Mike, good solution. Well, let's hear from our sponsor, Back on Track Products, and then we're going to come back and talk about a show that's coming up in less than a month that all the women in the country are going to want to hear about. So we'll talk about that in a minute, right after this word from Back on Track Products.
Back on Track is a revolutionary line of pain relief products for horses and humans. Utilizing ancient Chinese experience, modern scientific findings, and skilled textile production, we have developed a line of products made of polyester fabric with ceramic powder melted into the threads. This ceramic-infused fabric reflects body heat as infrared waves, a form of energy that has a documented pain-relieving effect. It can reduce inflammation, ease muscle tension, increase blood circulation, and boost the healing process. Back on Track products can be used to warm up your muscles before exercise or work, thereby reducing the risk of strains or injury. Most importantly, they can also expedite the recovery from established injuries. Our wide range of products for horses includes blankets, coolers, saddle pads, boots, and wraps. We also offer a number of products for humans, including back and knee braces, gloves, bedding, and clothing. Back on Track is used by the top equestrians in the world, including McLean Ward, Stefan Peters, BZ Madden, Michelle Gibson, Margie Engel, and Debbie McDonald, just to name a few. Stefan Peters is one of the best dressage riders in the United States.
We've been using the Back on Track products now for approximately 4 years, starting with the leg wraps and the blankets. We've seen and noticed wonderful results from these products. We've no longer used poultice in our barn. The horses come out with much tighter legs, seem to have many less ailments, and the side effects of using poultice are not noticed, obviously, using the Back on Track wraps. Using the blanket, the horses have far less back trouble, far less irritation, allows us to do less veterinary treatments on the horse's joints, as well as chiropractic work, and we really feel that it's been a huge improvement for us and helped us have some great results.
You can find Back on Track products at most major retailers. Find them on the web at backontrackproducts.com or on Facebook. Just search for Back on Track products.
I want their blanket so bad, Glenn. I can't stand it. But you guys are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, and thanks to Back on Track for bringing you today's show. We really appreciate it, and we appreciate all the auditors who also are participating all of the time. Glenn,
yay,
are you back?
For the auditors. Yes, I am. I'm back.
Yes.
Sorry about that.
Well,
we have
just I want you to explain to me that Mary is here and then she's going to be here again.
Yes, we're keeping Mary today. We're not letting Mary go because we like her so much she has to stay. And, of course, we're talking about our friend Mary Kitzmiller, who is the only female wildcard competitor for Road to the Horse, and she's in another challenge coming up that we're going to talk to her about right now, and she's out of Texas. Hi, Mary.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Thank you so much for joining us again. Now, if everybody remembers correctly, Mary also played our Celebrity Trivia Challenge before, and if I remember right, you lost, like, in the tiebreaker.
I did. It was a movie trivia question, so I'm really ashamed because I'm a big movie buff and I'm a big horse movie buff, and I lost it by like a millisecond. So I'm going to blame technology. I think it was the delay and something just happened over that.
Oh, yeah. Totally. I'm with you, girl.
Use that, Mary. Stick with that, all right?
That's my story.
Hey, Mary, you're also staying today and going to play a little later on, and we have two celebrities playing today, and it's actually the Celebrity Trivia Challenge of the Wild Cards. We have a wild card matchup with a fellow wild card by the name of Sean Patrick, who lives not too far from us here in Florida, and so it's going to be two Road to the Horse wild cards playing against each other. You have a chance to redeem yourself.
Oh, yeah, I have a big chance to get Sean, so... pretty happy about that.
You know what? I'm dubbing this Equity MFG Celebrity Challenge. It is the Wild Card Celebrity Trivia Challenge Battle of the Sexes. Yeah.
Ooh.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's
good. Excellent.
Just made it more interesting, didn't I?
That's
I did.
Good. Well, then then I better not use Jennifer's questions here because I'm looking at a couple of them, and Mary, you're in trouble. So I'm just saying.
Oh, hey, Mary, really? Who asks the question? Oh, that would be me.
That's funny. Well, Mary, we're here to talk to you first about a different challenge that you're taking part in. We heard about it last week here on the show because we had the organizer, a guy by the name of Jim Hutchins, on the show with us. And, of course, we're talking about the American Horsewoman's Challenge. So tell us quickly about the show and what it involves.
It's going to be a great show, I think. The unique thing about this is it is an all-woman competition. And for me doing it, I actually know and have competed against many of the competitors, so it's a little bit of the usual suspects that I'm going up against. And it's three different classes. They're starting with a Liberty class, and then there's a cowboy dressage and an extreme cowboy race, followed by a finals for the top 10 competitors.
And this is a little different, too, with a lot of these competitions like the Mustang Makeover and Road to the Horse, which you competed in last year, and you're also a wild card for this year. You're getting a horse. Sometimes it's a rescue horse. Sometimes it's a Mustang. In Road to the Horse's case, it's an untrained quarter horse. This one's different because you could pick your own horse.
Right, and that was kind of one of the main reasons I signed on was that I didn't have to take on a whole other horse. I could use a horse I already had, and so that's kind of nice because, you know, with the Mustang Makeovers and other events, you have to care for an entirely new horse for that amount of time, and you either have to commit to keeping it or at least making it, you know, a good horse for a new home at the end. So this was kind of a refresher. I could take something I was already working with and just continue training it and then go compete on it.
Now, there were certain rules that it couldn't have had more than, like, 10 training sessions, and it had to be pretty green horse is what it came down to. So what horse are you using?
I'm using a bay quarter horse, 3 years old. And he had had no rides by the starting date that we were allowed to start training. And it's actually the same horse I'm using for the wild card thing. And my first idea for doing this was this would be just a superb warm-up for him. And it's just going to be a really fun competition. So he's coming along really well. I really, really like this horse. He's really athletic. really good nature, just a good all-around horse.
Now, these horses, this is the one you picked at Road to the Horse, and it came out of the remuda that was there, and it's from the 4-6's Ranch in Texas. By the way, is that ranch like a million acres? I mean, I just imagine it being huge. Have you ever been to the 4-6's?
I have, actually. That's where my horse got his name. I named him Guthrie because I went to Guthrie, Texas, to pick him up. And it's kind of a little bit of a cool coincidence. He's going to be competing in Guthrie, Oklahoma. But, yeah, funny story. We were headed out there to pick him up and brought the living quarters trailer, and they let us know we could plug in there. And we're like, no, we're okay. We can find a Walmart and just, you know, flip on the generator. And I guess Walmart is 2 hours away from the 6's. So that gives you a little idea of how expansive it is.
Well, you told me a story yesterday. Are you allowed to tell it on the air about what the cowboys from the 4-6's, who were, by the way, were a really big hit with the girls at the Road to the Horse, but the cowboys from the 4-6's said about your horse? Can we mention that?
Yeah, well, this is a little bit of hearsay because I did not hear this directly from them. I went and I picked out my horse and I was real happy with him, and I spoke with one of the cowboys afterwards and I said, what do you think? He goes, oh, he's a nice horse. And one of the other guys said, you know, just get on him. Don't screw around with all. Get on, and he's going to be great. And then I was speaking with another competitor's wife a few weeks ago, and they had eyed the horse themselves as a favorite. And she goes, well, those cowboys told everyone he's pretty wild. I was like, oh, really? They didn't tell me that. And he was. For about 2 months, he was he's a very tough horse. And, you know, that's just the way they're raised. They're raised out on the range and brought in and just messed with, you know, just enough to make them okay to handle. And, you know, as a testament to his breeding, it did not take him very long to come right around. And now, I mean, he could babysit anybody's grandma. He's a gem. He's wonderful.
Those cowboys set you up, Mary.
I think they did.
They set you up. Only female competitor this year, and they set you up. You go show them next year.
Informed.
You win that $100,000.
That is the plan.
Well, we're going to be rooting for you for sure. But let's talk about the American Horsewoman's Challenge. So now you're going. This is October 3rd through the 5th. It's at the Lazy E Arena in Guthrie, Oklahoma. It's going to be 3 days of competition. There are some big names. You're going to have some serious competition there. There's 40 women involved in this. And Obi Shaum, who was a competitor at Road to the Horse, the only female competitor before you, is going to be there. And you, Mary Miller Jordan, who's been on the show a number of times, is going to be there. And just a ton of different women from around the country, and even dressage riders, all different, not all Western either, English in there, everything.
Right, yeah, it's going to be really tough. Like I said, for me, I'm actually competing with a lot of the same gals I've competed with in other events or have been to some of the same events, so it's going to be a reunion of sorts, so that's going to be excellent. And, you know, I know a good chunk of them, if not all of them, are just really fantastic horsewomen. It's going to be pretty tough. It's going to be one of the tougher competitions I do. So I'm really excited for the challenge.
And what makes it different than the other competitions, do you think?
You know what? I tell you what. For me, the biggest difference is not about who's competing and whether it's all men or all women or whatever. It's that dang Liberty class. And I am not a Liberty trainer. I have played with it. I have a funny story about being chased through the pasture at Liberty for my life. And so that's a whole other story. But this has been the first time I've really had to sit down and say, okay, I'm required to do Liberty in 6 months. I better know what the heck I'm doing. And what I found about it is it's just like any other horse training. I got my horse really good, really fast at Liberty, and I thought, gosh, you know, what's the big deal with these Australians, these Double Dans and Guy McLean's doing it? This is easy. I could put on a show. I'm ready to hit the road with my act. And then one day he ran away and never came back. And So I had to work on getting him back hooked on me, and then I got him really good again. It took me another several weeks. I got him real hooked on me again, and we were doing everything good. And then I started thinking, this is going in my freestyle. This is going to be brilliant. And then he ran away again and never came back. And so we're on our third round of, okay, we're good, we're getting really good. But what I noticed about it is, I mean, in a way, that's like just regular training. It's peaks and valleys, and it takes months to establish a good enough foundation until you have something really solid. So I'm really grateful for the challenge, because that might have been something I may never have really dug deep into before had I not been required.
Liberty's got to be tough. I mean, with our horses, I know if we were training them anywhere near grass, that would be it. We would, you know, they would be interested in grass, and there'd be no training involved. I mean, we'd have to have pure dirt, no food.
Well, and that's my problem, because on the inside of my arena is about 2 feet of fresh green grass, and it's mowed down. But I have it. I need to go round it up and kill it off. And so when I say Guthrie runs away, it's silently, very quietly ambling away at the trot, and he sticks his head in the grass, and I'm running around him and waving my whip and nothing. He's all into the grass. And so in a way, I think the challenge will be easier because there's no grass. So he should be really good.
Helps to have a fence, too. That really helps. Yeah.
There's going to be a fence, thank goodness.
It's got to be. Is that one of the, you know, training these different horses and stuff, or and you're going to be doing different things. You're going to have a freestyle to do too. Do you think that this Liberty stuff is the hardest thing to train?
For me personally, just because I do have a really good a lot of experience and knowledge to draw from with you know, body control and obstacle work, and I've been in the ring doing freestyles. I've been very successful at that. So the Liberty's tough because, you know, you're not attached to your horse, and it's kind of, you know, you really better walk the walk and talk the talk and show that, yeah, you know, even when I take all the tack off of my horse, he still wants to hang out with me. And the requirements for the class, it's a marathon. It's a lot, and you know, they don't call it a challenge for nothing.
And so we have newfound respect for the Double Dans and for Guy McLean.
Yeah, just a little. If I had a few more weeks, I'll probably catch up to them in skill level, and I'm going to take the act on the road. So
there you go.
Yeah.
And then what you need to do is you need to not just have one horse at Liberty. You need to have about six dang horses running around
at the same time.
Just lay one down while you're doing Liberty, and you stand on that one and crack a bullwhip while the others gallop around and then come to you, and then one jumps over the other one, and then they start tap dancing, and I don't know what the hell. I don't know. I don't even know what I'm looking at when I see that. There's so much going on.
I decided long ago for my own sanity, I'm never really going to delve into that part of horsemanship. I'll just stick with the one horse and call it good. I do have a mini mule, though, that I'm training for that kind of stuff, just really fun stuff. So I'll do it with a horse and a half, but probably not two horses or three horses.
Hey, I've heard of mini donkeys. I've never heard of a mini mule.
Yeah, we rescued him out of a yard on the side of the road, and he's about knee-high, and he's terrible. He's very spoiled. You can roll him over and scratch his belly. He's terrible in all the best ways.
So does he have little tap shoes and little top hat and a little cane, and then that's going to be
Not yet. He got his head stuck in a bucket the other day, and he wore that as a hat for a little while.
Well, Mary, we're looking forward to this. By the way, if anybody wants to find out about it, if you maybe want to buy some tickets, they're on sale now. Horsewomanschallenge.com is the website. October 3rd through the 5th at the Lazy E Arena in Guthrie, Oklahoma, which is out of Oklahoma City, I believe. And you can find out more about Mary also at marykitzmiller.com. That's KITZMiller.com. So you'll find her website there. You can follow her progress, and you can see all the different women that are going to be competing at the competition. They're all on the website at horsewomanschallenge.com. Mary, will you hang out with us until we play a little trivia and you get a chance to redeem yourself against Sean in the Battle of the Sexes?
Yep, absolutely.
You know what? Why Jamie's been so quiet here? Because she's been rewriting the questions, making them all like, how many legs does a horse have? And
That's okay. You don't have to try very hard. I know Sean. Sean's a little slow. It should be, you know, make it an even playing field for Sean's sake.
Trash talk. I love it.
I hope he's listening. Let's take a break for our song. We have some Templeton Thompson here today. And in your honor, I have Even Cowgirls Get the Blues by Templeton
Excellent.
Thompson.
That so, is true. I can attest to that. That's a fact.
Little Equestrian Collections first, and then Even Cowgirls Get the Blues. We'll be back with more Mary Kitzmiller and the Celebrity Trivia Challenge of the Sexes. Glenn back with you, and I have Debbie with Equestrian Collections with the Equestrian Collections Product of the Week.
This week I'm going to be talking about the Iridian Arena Show Shirt. It comes in ladies and kids sizes, and it comes from one of our tried and true friends, Iridian. What makes this show shirt really different and what I really love about it are two things. First of all, there's a new kind of collar. It's a magnet collar. It's, you know, the regular rat catcher type collar, and it's a magnets instead of snaps, which is not only easy, but the thing that is so cool about it is when you open the collar, it becomes an Oxford type of collar. And so this shirt can be used as a show shirt, but it easily transforms to be a dressy kind of silky shirt. And to go along with that, that comes in many colors, but it also comes in the white colors. It comes in these really cool accents, of which there are a lot, on the cuff and on the inside of the collar. And there's like, I don't know, maybe 20 different types of stuff that they have in there, maybe 15, that make it so that you can make it dressy. It's very silky feeling. It wicks away moisture. It's got a placket in the front. And here's something for the ladies will understand. The way that the buttons are on the shirt, it prevents gapping because of the way the buttons are designed on the shirt. It's kind of a different type of approach because it makes the shirt be more than just a show shirt.
That's the Iridian Arena Show Shirt. You can find it at Equestrian Collections at equestriancollections.com.
And don't forget, it comes in kid sizes as well.
She's a rounder, I can tell you that. She can sing them all night too. She'll raise hell about the sleep she lost. Even cowgirls get the blues. Especially cowgirls, they're the gypsy kind. They need the reins laid on the moon to live to see.
That was our friend Templeton Thompson with Even Cowgirls Get the Blues. And I wanted to mention that Templeton Thompson will also be at the Horsewoman's Challenge, and she'll be doing a concert there the first night. I don't know if you knew that, Mary, but she's going to be there. She'll be doing a concert on Friday night for all of you, so you'll be able to enjoy Templeton the whole time.
Excellent. I love her music.
Yeah, and she, we met her years ago, and she's been coming on the show since we first started. 6 years ago, we've been talking to Templeton since she came out with Jamie's favorite song, Girls and Horses. And we thoroughly enjoy her, and we've seen her in concert before too. So you're going to like that. Her husband
awesome.
Sam's terrific. Yep, he's terrific too. You got some other. There's some other people coming out to this event too that are big names. You're gonna have one of our first guests 6 years ago, 5,000 guests ago. Mary was Julie Goodnight, and she's going to be there. Linda Pirelli's going to be there. Craig Cameron, just a whole bunch of big names going to be showing up in Oklahoma for this thing. So it should be a lot of fun for you.
Yeah, I can't wait. I've been lucky enough to meet a few of those, and some I haven't met before. I look forward to it. I think it's going to be a really fun event.
Well, we are Horses in the Morning. I am Glenda Geek here with Jamie Jennings, and we're joined by Mary Kitzmiller. Is that yours, Mary? I know you have a tiny little dog.
That is my evil minion, Chihuahua. I thought he'd
now,
be
Mary,
a good boy, but...
I met Mary at Road to the Horse, and I have to tell you that when they say when the dogs match the person, they kind of say that. I was shocked to see you with the Chihuahua, because I was picturing kind of a... rough, tough dog, Mary, and then you had a Chihuahua. Where did that come from?
Well, he's pretty hardy. He cannot die, which makes me think he's something unholy, and I hope he's not like me, because he's just 2 pounds of pure Trimble and evil, and that's my dog. And I'm a horse trainer. I do not profess to be a dog trainer, and he's just a special guy.
Special. Yes,
he's very special.
Well, let's do this. Let's play a game, because I see that your competitor is on the line here. So
It's time for the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge, where each week a different unsuspecting world-renowned celebrity equestrian is pitted against a humble Horses in the Morning listener, willing to risk it all for a prize package or a nod of approval from one of the greats from the equestrian universe. Now, let the battle of equestrian acuity begin.
And Jamie, what are we calling it again? You had the name.
It is the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Challenge Battle of the Sexes. Dun, dun, dun.
And before we introduce Sean here, we have to talk about EquityMFG.com, because I think once we introduce Sean, we're going to lose control of the show. So why don't you talk a little bit about your flex and fork or shake and fork?
Well, I love my flex and fork. I love my shake and fork. And I'm packing up for the horse trial. And so, I don't have shavings here at home, so I don't get to use my shake and fork as much as I like to. However, I do love going to horse shows and cleaning the stall and hitting that button and going, and have everybody from stalls around going, "What is that? What are you doing?" And then I show them, and everybody's jealous. And for like 1 second before they see me ride, I'm cool. Like, I am the center of attention for like 5 minutes while I show everybody how awesome I can clean poop. And so that's the shake and fork for you. And I love getting the shavings and getting in there and doing the stalls. And it's just such a unbelievable piece of equipment. Not even just the shake and fork, the flex and fork. Like I told you guys, I've run over with my gator. I've seriously jammed it into walls. You can get it stuck in the grass and it doesn't break. Do yourself a favor. Invest in getting just a flex and fork. And if you do shavings a lot or you show a lot, it's going to save you a lot of time and a lot of money, especially when you're paying you know, $10-15 a bag for shavings at horse shows. The Shake and Fork is going to save you money, and the Flex and Fork is going to save you money buying forks that break. So do yourself a favor. Go to equitymfg.com.
Very good. Thank you very much. Well, we've already met the one competitor. She's returning for a second chance. She lost in a tiebreaker the first round. And, of course, that's Mary Kitzmiller, been with us for half an hour talking trash about her competitor today, who is Sean Patrick, also a wild card at Road to the Horse, lives down here in the state of Florida, and I am rooting for him because us guys have to stick together. We're in a world of women here in the horse world. So, Sean Patrick, how are you?
I'm doing really well. Thanks for having me.
She said she's smarter than you. She has been smack-talking you for the last half hour.
She said he's slow.
No. I haven't been trash-talking for the last half hour. I just made some casual observations, and I just wanted to make sure they're going to take it real easy on you and not destroy your confidence.
Well, I just think you should all know that she actually is quite a bit smarter than I am. But I'll give you that. I'm far quicker, though.
I'm Sean just setting myself up for the most massive of failures.
You are. You have to live up to this now, Mary. Yeah. Sean is a horse trainer, a colt starter, and lives in one of the most beautiful places in Florida. Tell us about where you live.
Well, we're over near New Smyrna Beach, so it's just down the road from Daytona, and we're on Pioneer Trail Reserve, who is actually one of the sponsors this year of Road to the Horse. And it's an equestrian community here with a beautiful indoor riding arena, and we are so fortunate to work year-round under this big roof, and we have beautiful green pastures, and it's quite a treat.
Where is that? Because I'm moving there.
We're about an hour and a half east of you, I think.
Yeah, we're east of us. She's in a Phoenix, but we're in Ocala. And you're just south of Daytona Beach, right?
Yeah. I've been able to go to some car races this last few years. It's been quite fun.
Yeah, it is a beautiful area you're at. And he's literally about a half an hour from one of the most beautiful beaches in Florida. So New Smyrna Beach is very nice. We go once a year. Well, Sean, who are you going to play for as a charity?
Oh, I'm going to play for Hope Reigns, which is a therapeutic riding center just a few miles from me. They have a really wonderful director, Hope Rosenthal, and they have a barn full of nice horses, and we're always rooting for them.
Well, very good, and we appreciate all the therapeutic riding centers in the United States that do great work. And, Mary, who are you playing for? Because now that you've declared you're going to win, we have to know.
Well, I'm playing for a charity we already give to every month, and it's Ranch Hand Rescue, and it's a horse rescue out here in Texas, and they do some amazing things, just extreme life-saving measures for horses and other animals, and it's a really great cause.
Very good, and we thank you both for telling us about your charities. And what are they playing for, Jennifer?
Our contestants are playing for a $25 gift certificate from EquestrianCollections.com. EquestrianCollections.com is where you can find the whole universe of equestrian shopping at the touch of a mouse and delivered straight to your door.
And I'm sure that either one of those charities can find things they need at Equestrian Collections. So Jamie's going to explain the rules here, and hopefully we don't see any cheating, Jamie, because I'm on Sean's side here.
No, I would not cheat. This is for two very deserving charities. I may have altered the questions just a little bit. But
yeah,
just a little. All right, so how this works is I'm going to ask Mary a question, and then I'm going to ask Sean a question. I'm going to go back and forth, three questions apiece, and if we need to get to the tiebreaker, I'll explain the rules of that when we get to it. Does that sound good to you guys?
Sounds good to me.
Yep, sounds good.
All right, so Mary, you are first. Jennifer, apparently, by the way, Jennifer is our producer. You just heard her explain the prizes. I would like for you to know that if you don't like the questions or you have any complaints at all, you have to email Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. I am just the reader. I am not the author.
I'm writing it down right now.
Yes, Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. two ends. All right. So here we go. Mary, apparently Jennifer spent some time reading a botany book ahead of this because the question is true or false? The good news is 50-50 shot. The meadow horsetail plant.
Oh, my gosh. I lost already. No. Okay, keep going.
That is a question. Come on. The meadow horsetail plant was named because of its ability to move in order to catch insects on which it feeds. True or false?
False?
That's right, Mary.
Yes,
it is
not a
famous fly trap. Yes, you made it. You are correct. It is not a
Where the hell did that question come from?
I didn't realize I had to have a PhD in botany for this show.
Yeah. That's the first botany question we've had in 3 years.
Well, the good news is it it's kind of Sean is going to have one too, sort of. Sean. We like to keep things fair here. True or false? Mare's tail is a type of wispy cloud.
False.
Now, not to be whatever, but mare's tail is a weed, and I almost think you're correct. Like, if it was me, I would give it to you, but first of all, she said the answer is true. So you send your complaints to Jennifer at horseradio.com. Second of all, you're a dude. If you were a chick, I would have given it to you. Because it is battle of the sexes after all.
You see what I have to stuff with every day, Sean? It's like this every day. I'm outnumbered.
I feel so sorry for you, Glenn. All right, so apparently mare's tail is also a type of wispy cloud. However, they are also a very pesky weed that we have in Phoenix. All right. So, Mary, we're going to move back to you, and this is going to be multiple choice, okay? So you can let me finish asking the whole question. I'll give you three choices. This one's ridiculous, too, by the way.
Awesome.
What sport requires moving a cow through a series of pegs involving right turns and left turns, and finally two pegs known as the gate? Is it A, camp drafting? Is it B, omoxi, or C, tent pegging?
I am going to go with A, camp drafting.
That is right. Good job, Mary.
I've
had a few
oddities
in my life, so that was pretty easy.
Oh, is that actually Australia? No wonder. I was like, what is this we're
I
talking
think
about?
It's getting popular over here as well. It's supposed to be a bunch of fun. I've never done it.
Well, apparently Sean wouldn't have known that because clearly Sean Patrick is Irish. Am I correct, Sean?
Well, I had one grandfather who was Irish. I think I'm actually mostly English, but...
Sean O'Patrick.
Have you ever done
camp
drafting, Sean? Have you ever done it?
No, I've watched it. On the telly, but I've never, ever done it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
They have a whole different way of moving from what I understand and what I've seen.
Never heard of it.
We're only doing a horse
I think it's their version of rain cow and raining them.
Okay. All right. Well, here, Sean, your question is also multiple choice, all right?
Okay.
Now, what year was the first World Equestrian Games held? The first WEGS, was it A, 1979, B, 1981, or C, 1990?
I'm going to go with 1990 since it's there every four
years. That's right, Sean. Yeah, you're right. That is correct.
Yay! Congratulations. He's quick. You're right. He is quick. So we are currently 2-1, 2-1. So, Mary, if you want to seal the victory, you've got to get this correct, okay?
No pressure.
What discipline has the U.S. team won? What discipline has the U.S. won team and individual gold in this World Equestrian Games?
Oh, this is not multiple choice.
No.
Nope.
Just answer.
Okay. Just got to come out of thin air with this one. Okay, let's go with raining.
Oh.
That's right. Good guess.
that was was kind of a low ball. That was kind of an easy
question.
One.
That was easy. That was kind of easy, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I want to keep playing here because I really feel like Sean's first question was wrong. Like,
let him save his dignity.
He was correct.
Yes, I agree. I thought a mare's tail was a plant. I never heard of it.
I was completely robbed.
It is. And someday we're going to get Jennifer on here to explain herself, so we're going to just keep going here. All right.
And we'll have some added money for Mary's favorite Chihuahua rescue.
It's the rescue I'm going to give my Chihuahua to when I finally have a mental breakdown. So we need to pay for his care, his long-term care.
I was wondering why when I saw the Chihuahua at Road to the Horse, it was in a straitjacket. I couldn't figure that out. Now I know.
And Mary was wearing the cone of shame. Was that
how
it worked? All right, Sean, let's ask you this question, see if you know it. The Four Sixes Ranch. The Four Sixes Ranch provides the horses for Road to the Horse, but they also produce cattle. What breed of cattle does the Four Sixes Ranch produce?
I'm going to go with Angus. I hope I'm right.
That's right. That is correct.
That's
You're right.
That's it. We're going to the tiebreaker.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. And Mary, this is bringing back nightmares because you lost in a movie tiebreaker question last time you were on. Now, guess what our question is? It's a movie tiebreaker question.
I've got the Google out right in front of me. I'm ready.
Wait a minute.
No Googling, ladies.
No Google. I'm good.
All right. So, Sean, this is how this works. I'm going to give you a series of clues, and I'm going to do them slowly. And as soon as you know the answer, yell it out. All right?
Wait. We're yelling out the – okay, yes. Okay, we're yelling out the answer, right?
I'm not going to get you guys confused. You don't have to use your name as your
buzzer. Okay, I just thought of that as it came out of my mouth. But we can both answer this one.
You can both answer it. This is the tiebreaker for the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Challenge Battle of the Sexes. It's a long title. Here we go. Name that movie. Yell it out when you know it. The film follows... I feel like I should give you a 5-second penalty. Black Beauty. Now, pay attention, Sean. He is quick. I'll give him that. All right. This film follows the adventures of Chip Woolley and Mark Allen from New Mexico to Louisville in 2009.
Cowboy F?
Directed by Jim Wilson, who won a 1990 Oscar for Dances with Wolves. The jockey, Calvin Burrell, plays himself.
50-1.
That's
yes!
right. Good job. Mary, you win it.
Yes.
Yay. Have you seen it yet, Mary?
I have not, but I'm familiar with the story.
It's a good,
so
funny
good.
Movie. Jamie and I, we saw it together when we were together in Lexington, and it's a very funny movie. It's very good.
And you get goosies. You get goosies. Yeah, I cried at the end, too. I cry in every horse movie, but I did cry a lot, and it was really, really good. And 50-1 is the answer. Sean Patrick, the non-Irish Irishman, I'm so sorry.
Okay.
You did
of course,
not
it's about
win.
Mind that bird. About the horse mind that bird. Yep.
Yes, 50-1 is the answer. So tell us your charity again, Mary, so we can all hear it. And
it's
know.
Ranch Hand Rescue.
Ranch Hand Rescue is going to get that $25 gift certificate from EquestrianCollections.com. Mary, thank you for playing. You have redeemed yourself. The women, take it. Woo!
It's just a minor, you know, for hundreds of years of oppression, just a minor victory for us. So I'm pretty happy representing.
I don't know about this, Sean. I think we're being trashed here. I don't know. I don't
I'm
know if I'm ever
it.
Having
I'm surrounded
very bad
by women all day. I'm kind of
yeah. I know.
Do it now.
You know, you do get used to being beat up after a while. You kind of just, you know, then you become numb to it.
Yeah, you do become numb.
Yeah. You know, I can put them all on hold, and we can just finish out the show with the guys here, Sean. I have that
power. You
talk
about beer and hockey and whatever you guys talk about.
Racing is just over there at Daytona, you know, watching the races. I mean, what we could finish out talking nothing about horses the rest of the show.
Perfect.
Yeah, I like it,
so,
too.
Mary, what is your favorite horse of all time, horse movie? Let's see. I mean, do you like Black Beauty? Are you like a racehorse? Seabiscuit was so good. Secretary was so good.
I can do that. I have that power. I just put her on I can put her and Mary, we put them on mute, and if we can just finish out the show, it's so much more pleasant, isn't it? Sean, you're supposed to back me up here. You're not going to let me hang in, are you?
Don't want to get in trouble myself.
Sean, what's your website?
My website is seanpatchtraining.com. Oh, and I want to tell you guys something. Do we have one minute?
Yeah, go ahead.
Mary's going to come over. She's been over to my place this year for a clinic, and we had just a blast, and we really enjoyed having her and her mom, Linda. And we're going to do it again in January.
If he'll have me back after this.
We will have you back, I promise. We enjoyed the heck out of it. And then Jim Anderson is going to join us January 2, 3, and 4 for a three-day horsemanship symposium. And we're going to start three colts, and we're going to use our Road to the Horse wildcard ponies for more horsemanship instruction. So there's going to be a total of about 18 teaching sessions over 3 days, and we're going to have it fully catered and have a VIP dinner, and we have some special guests that aren't announced yet, but hopefully they'll be back from Australia on the airplane to MC the event. So hopefully Dan James can show up. I'm pretty sure he will. And, yeah, we're really looking forward to that. So if you want to hear more, go to Mary's or my website or Facebook page, and we're really looking forward to putting on a really good teaching event, and we're going to do it right with the caterers and comfortable event. And it'll be in sunny Florida, so it's worth the trip.
Yeah, January in Florida. Where else do you want to be?
Right.
I mean, perfect.
I had a really hard time when I went down there going back to Gun Barrel City, Texas. I would have stayed in Florida. It's beautiful.
We enjoyed having you so much. It was such a fun weekend, and I can't wait to do it again.
Jennifer, we're going to have to take a ride over. We're going to have to come over and say hi. We're only an hour and a half from there.
We'd love it.
Oh, yeah. What are the dates again?
We're
going to
have a great dinner on a Saturday night. We're going to have about 100 people for dinner. It's going to be amazing. We're going to have live music and lots of door prizes and a fully catered event. So it'll be a lot of fun. I hope you do come.
Oh, wow. That sounds terrific. And what's the dates again and the website?
January 2, 3, and 4. So it's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And it's right in the middle of all the vacations, so people can steal away for the weekend. We have a host hotel in Port Orange, and the website is seanpatchtraining.com, or go to our Facebook page, which is just facebook.com/seanpatchtraining, or marykitzmiller.com. You have a button up, right, Mary?
I'm working on it right now.
You forgot.
And
I got to do that. Hey, I think that's terrific, and anybody going to it, too, take a day or two before or after and head over to New Smyrna Beach and hang out for a couple days. There's some beautiful hotels right over on the beach, and it's beautiful that time of year, too.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of horses here. This is really good horse country. There's just piles and piles and piles of riders right in our county of Volusia. And, you know, we're just east of Marion County, which is, of course, one of the hubs of the country for horse population, but over here there is as well, so lots to see.
Jamie, you're going to have to come in and visit your mother and then head down, and we'll meet down there and say hi to everybody.
I know, and you know what? I went to Sean's Facebook page, and he's also very good-looking. That doesn't hurt the trip. And his wife is really pretty, too, so whatever. But, you know, why is it all cowboys are good-looking? It's just not fair. I'm in the wrong sport.
It's the hat.
Yeah,
the hat.
And the chaps and the jeans, there's too much. So, yeah, definitely we should all go. Everybody check that out if you're in the area. Thank you guys both so much for coming on and doing the Battle of the Sexes and being such good sports.
I'm only going to say thank you if you agree to have us back, because I want to redeem myself versus Mary.
Oh, oh, we'll definitely do that. No question. I'll write the questions next time.
That was good fun, you guys.
Just keep asking movie questions, and I got it.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you.
See ya.
See you, Mary. Talk to you soon.
What fun they both were. That was a lot of fun this morning. That was great.
Yeah, that was very good. I didn't know they knew each other, and they, like, clinic together, so that's cool. And, by the way, the place he lives sounds amazing. And if I ever get tired of doing all this dang farm work, I'm moving there because then it's just in your neighborhood. You just walk to it.
He has this, like, exclusive neighborhood there, and it's all horses, and it's literally right near the beach. I mean, it's a beautiful area. All palm trees and, you know, live oaks. Oh. It's just beautiful where they are. Yeah,
oh
he's got a good spot. It's a good deal. Hey, Jennifer, what's coming up on Friday for a really bad ad? But, well, speaking of which, first of all, we are doing a Road to the Horse show tomorrow. So if you want to hear more about Road to the Horse, Tammy should be here, and we'll be talking Road to the Horse tomorrow. And then Friday is really bad ads. Now, you're out on Friday. Are you here or not on Friday? You couldn't decide this morning. So what have you decided?
Well, you know, I think I'll be – it would be a bad connection because I'll be on the cell phone. So I think I'm going to let you guys take over if that's all right. And then I will make sure I provide some definite interesting fodder for you guys come Monday. And maybe I'll try to send you an interview because this is the first horse trial for a off-the-track thoroughbred that I got right before I got pregnant. Okay, and so his training has been, needless to say, very inconsistent, and I decided about 2 weeks ago that I was going to take him to this horse trial. So we've been cramming. It's like the riding equivalent of studying for exams the night before.
Now, can you do me a favor and please have Chad have the video camera going from the time you get to the ground the time you leave, because we really need another good viral video. We haven't had a 3 million lately. So if you could do that, I'd really appreciate it. It's for the show, Jamie, for the
show.
See,
but I think, aside from him being nervous, I think it's not going to be as exciting as it was when I had, you know, just getting Jet out. Jet's easy to compete now. He's like old hat, you know, you do it enough times and get used to it. This guy's just a little scared, but I love him so much, and he's so pretty. And every time I look at him, I'm like, he's so pretty. God, I love him. So the only problem is that I'm going to California, like I said, and there's going to be and maybe some of you guys can back me up here. There's going to be, like, all these fancy show horses in California that are stabled in these fancy show barns. And I live in the desert, and my horse is black, typically. But he is so bleached out from the sun, he's like a buckskin. He looks like a buckskin thoroughbred. And I can't – so what
you
I
wanna
told
die
Chad,
him?
I'm like – I don't know what to do. I figure what I can do is I should hose him off before I go in for dressage. So he looks decently dark colored. Would that be, maybe he'll be sweating so much he'll look black. Like, he looks terrible. Terrible.
Home Depot.
I don't know what else to do.
In a black spray paint. Take care of it. No problem.
What about that, like, Halloween hair dye? I could just...
Oh, that'd be perfect. Yeah.
God, I didn't think
about
that.
You know, they do make spray-on hair dye that you can use on a horse, you know.
They must. They must. I wonder if I can Amazon that to my house.
Yeah.
Is it like when women wear makeup and they get sweaty and it runs? Does that happen with those too?
They're going to cry and their mascara runs. He's going to be, like, dripping black, and then the whole top is going to be buckskin again. That's attractive.
I still have the vet called out and going, this horse is diseased.
That would be hilarious. Oh, I'll post a picture of him on our horses in the morning page. You guys can see just – this horse is black, typically. Okay, so when you see this picture on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page, you're going to be like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe you're taking them to a competition where Gina Miles is going to have her horses. Like, fat, sleek. Mine is, like, skinny and sun-bleached and just a disaster. His mane hasn't been pulled in a year. I mean, he's a mess. He is a mess. I'm going to pull his mane and clip him before we go, but I can't do anything about the color. He's just a disaster.
And have Chad clean your tack, okay? That's horse husband.
Oh, yeah.
Job.
That's going to happen.
Is Luke old enough to clean tack yet? Have you taught him that?
Not quite. You know what his favorite thing to do is? I was cleaning tack yesterday, and he likes to grab a big handful of dirt and throw it right on the tack you're cleaning.
Oh, that's just been cleaned when it's all sticky and it all sticks. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Jennifer, what is coming up for Really Bad Ads prizes on Friday?
This week's prize is provided by Dr. Rose's Remedies. Dr. Rose's Remedies skin treatment salve and spray are 100% all-natural products. They are anti-inflammatory, antibacterial, antiviral, and antifungal, which is why they work so well on the scratches on PT Scooter's ankles. Dr. Rose's all human-grade ingredients and are safe and effective for all manner of cuts and scrapes on your ponies, horses, cats, and dogs. Ask for Dr. Rose's at your local tack shop, or you can visit them online at drrosesremedies.com. And also providing prizes this week, Uncle Jimmy's brand. Uncle Jimmy's hanging balls and licky things help combat stall boredom by providing your horse entertainment in the stall while at the same time providing much-needed minerals and nutrients that are not found in other treats or they're left in the bottom of the feed bin. Uncle Jimmy's has training treats covered, too, with Uncle Jimmy's squeezing buns. Every single deliciously soft, squishy treat is individually wrapped for freshness, and your pockets don't get gummed up either. Ask for Uncle Jimmy's hanging balls, licky things, and squeezy buns at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can go online to uncle-jimmys.com.
Send your entries to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com, Really Bad Ads in the subject line, and copy and paste the entire ad into the email. Don't just send a link. It usually is not there when she goes to find it again. Well, Jamie, good luck this weekend. So be sure to, and everybody, keep posting your Hit 'em Happies. And I am hoping, Jamie, that you have some Hit 'em Happies to post from the show.
I love the Hit 'em Happy Challenge. If you guys don't know what we're talking about, you post a picture for 100 days of something that makes you happy on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. Tag it with hashtag or pound sign, according to your age, Hit 'em Happy. And then we get to, it makes you think about what makes you happy every day. That's what I really like. And I also like seeing what makes other people happy. Peruse the pages, you guys. It's so cool. It is so fun.
It really is. It really is cool. Thank you, everybody. We'll talk to you again. Tomorrow we'll be here with Tammy with the Road to the Horse episode for this month. And then we'll be back again on Friday with Leslie Wiley of Horse Nation making an appearance to talk to us about the nightmare that was WAG. So, all coming up.
Spay, neuter, geld, you guys have a great day. I'll talk to y'all Monday. Hopefully with a ribbon, not a concussion. You like that one?
I like that one. That's good.